for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. This is the 2011 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, December the 28th, 2011. Ed Johnson is the speaker of the evening, teaching on witchcraft and the great deception.
Glad to be here. Man, we got some beautiful weather, don't we? You know, Brother Bo Fisher and his wife, when they was up here, was that today, I think? And they was talking about the stars. You know, they live in Pasadena, right out of Houston. And we're in Beaumont, which is 90 miles east, going towards Louisiana way. So, and we are the same way. I mean, you know, you're on the coast, and there's a lot of, you know, fog and stuff. And we don't get many nights where we can really... And as Dixon and I was coming through, we was going up and down. Usually we've came every time it's been in the daytime. But this was at night. And I said, look, there's a Big Dipper. I mean, you could just see everything. I mean, it was beautiful. It was almost like an observatory or something. Gosh, Lee. You know, we're not used to that down anyway. It's beautiful. Weather's pretty. And you just feel like you can just breathe a lung full of it. And it just makes you feel so good. That's why it's a healthy climate. That's why Brother Glenn, you know, when he was praying to the Lord, he got that tape. If some of y'all don't, you need to have it, because it's just a blessing how they were looking and they were going all over, and then the Lord just let them hear, and the lady said, it's not even for sale, and everything, and you know, and it was just a blessing how this all came about. So, and my pastor, I still call him my pastor, he's Brother Dean, he's 81. And he had a stroke some years back. I have to ask my authoritarian back there. I think, what was it, 2006 or 4? I get it mixed up. 4. And it messed up part of his memory and some of his... but physically, he does good. Harlan and Dorothy, Sister Dorothy, went with the Lord in 2006, I believe. Yeah, I'm correct on that. I have a historian back there that lets me know these things. Some of you other guys might have a historian too that y'all can talk to. But anyway, he and Sister Dorothy met Brother Glenn and his wife, Irma. And... when they were with them, the gospel deal, they came to Beaumont. This was before Lake Hamilton. And they knew then the years before that. And then as soon as the door was open here, Sister Dorothy and Brother Dean was here from the start. Dixon and I didn't come on the scene till 1987. And I'll get into some of that. I want to get into a little, I want to explain a little bit on Brother Dean. He was one of the pioneers in the deliverance ministry. And believe it or not, even though some of his memory is not there, he is still a fierce prayer warrior. And he could still lay hands and pray, and the Lord didn't take that away from him. And so when we have deliverance services at church and everything, he's right there and he gets word of knowledge. And he's, you know, speaking in tongues. All that is still there. And so the part is he used to have a phenomenal memory of the Scripture. And for years, when I was first started there, you know, when I'd be at work, I worked for PPG Industries for... 31 years in Beaumont. And there was a lot of oneness people there. And oneness people liked to argue the Bible. And so, boy, they'd throw a question at me. And, of course, us being Trinitarian, full gospel, and non-denominational. And I was up to it because, you know, I was And I was gung-ho. Once the Lord told me and showed me and my wife what the deliverance ministry was, that I was dedicated. And I'm going to explain to y'all why and how that came about here in a little bit with the Lord's help. But I could call Brother Dean on the phone, I don't care when it was, and I'd say, Brother Dean, you know, so you just said, where can I find it? Oh, you'll find that over there in so-and-so. And I'd go right there to it. Boy, and the next night I'd come back and I'd say, that's so-and-so. You know, and they never did get where they could stump me. But it was fun. It was good natured. I love those Pentecostal brothers, you know, and so we're still friends to this day. But there is fundamental differences between the oneness group and the Trinitarian group. You know, the first thing you want to ask you is, how do you baptize? Do you baptize in the name of Jesus? How do you baptize? You know, that's the first thing you want to ask. We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But anyway, praise God. We love them. Anyway, so I want to read one quick message here just before we start, and then I'm gonna have to explain a little bit more. But see, it's in Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. That message is as much as pertinent today as it was right then. Now, how many people, and I'm not putting anybody on the spot, if you don't want to ring in, don't. But how many of you in here did not get to hear at least one of Howard Pittman's messages? Is there anybody here that, okay, there's one brother back there. But everybody else here, just two, okay. But everybody else here basically heard at least one, and I hope some of you heard both of them. If Brother Howard had to leave, but if he was still here, I know he would attest to this. He and I did not know what each other was going to talk about. But I just love it when this Holy Spirit does these things, because it just still sends chills up my spine. After 25 years, it amazes me. It shouldn't, but because I know the Holy Spirit is that way. Great. But he, I guess it was 3 weeks ago, wife and I was driving down. We were going somewhere. And I'd been praying about, Patty had not actually told me what to talk about tonight. And years I'm not used to it, because a lot of places when I go, especially at the Southeast Texas Warfare Conference we have every March in Beaumont, usually Brother Jim, he gives me he said, I want you to talk on this. And so, which is fine. I have no problem with that. And I asked her, and she said, no, you just, whatever, just so be sure that it includes some deliverance. And I said, okay. So I'm thinking about it and praying, asking the Lord. And I felt like I was getting a message there. And anyway, we were driving down the road, and she said, I've been praying about this, and I feel like the Lord just told me that you're supposed to talk on witchcraft. And I said, well, that's strange, because it's only been about 5 or 6 days ago when I feel like the Lord told me the same thing. So I think that's a confirmation. So praise the Lord. And Brother Howard, over the last two nights, he brought out very much pertinent facts pertaining to the subject that we're going to be doing tonight. And as we go through, I'm sure the Lord will prompt me, and I'll probably maybe re-emphasize it again, because there's no accidents in this. And I'm telling you, when he said that, I'm trying to think exactly how he put it, fundamentalist church upbringing that he had come up through, and they did not teach him things that he needed to know. And when he got up there in heaven before the Father, he got a pressing down, deflated his ego, because he had left out a full one-third of God's message. And he had been preaching for 30 years. So, you know, we see that. And same thing with me. I mean, you can go to church, play church. But if you're not actually getting the things that you need to defend yourself and your family, then guess what? You can't defend yourself and your family. And Satan can sit there and eat you guys up alive and you don't even know it. I never heard a sermon on the devil. I heard a few sermons whenever the evangelists would come once a year to South Park Baptist Church. I heard a few sermons once a year on hell. They called them hell and damn fire sermons. And they scared the bejeebies out of you. And boy, you wanted to go down there and, I mean, you know, and get saved again and rededicated whatever it was. Because I didn't like that hell now, I knew that. Oh, that's where you're burning and all that. Woo! They'd make it so real you could smell the sulfur. Man, them guys. And they came through once a year to do that. You know. So, and Brother Howard was saying about the little boys, and it's true. Us little boys, we'd get there. My mother and daddy was just like that. There was no ifs, ands, and buts. You didn't say you were. I didn't want to. I don't feel like it. I mean, we go to church every Sunday. Back then, the Baptist churches aren't grouped now. They don't do this anymore. But back then, I'm telling you this. You went to Sunday school. Then you went to church. Then you went back to church. You went to training union. Then you went to church. And, of course, us boys sit up there and fiddled around with the song deals and stuff. We weren't paying any attention to what we were doing. We were more interested in what we was going to be able to do once we got out. Somebody ever say he said this rung a bell. Praise the Lord. And, you know, that's fact. That's the way it was. And I'm sure many of y'all probably was raised that way. So I had it was a good fundamentalist background, but it's lacking in the spiritual warfare realm that we need to be able to take care of us and our family. We need to praise God. We need to love our brothers. We don't run them down. We need to pray for them to get see the light. We had that recently happen. I guess it's been about 5 or 6 years ago. Baptist church up in Lumberton, which is just north of Beaumont, and the pastor got to give a speaking in tongues, and before you knew it, the rest of the congregation was speaking in tongues, and they was healing people. A lady come up there, had a club foot from birth, and the foot just went out like that. All pandemonium broke out. I mean, and it's a big church up there, Brother Bond. And guess what? About a month later, some of the old folks there done reported them, they got in trouble. He sent me a letter, and this was before we even was really involved, but we had visited them a few times. And they was given an ultimatum. You'll either stop their speaking in tongues and laying on them hands, or you're not going to be in our convention anymore. And so they decided we just got promoted because they're going strong right now. Amen? So, and I imagine a lot of us that's had similar experiences. But mine takes a little different twist. And in order to, I'm going to have to do sort of like what Howard did. I'm going to have to give you some of my testimony, mine and Dixie's testimony. And I'm going to have to give you some of that in order to, you can understand where we're coming from, where we went from, where we went, where we were, and where we are now. So, bear with me, but we're gonna cruise through that a little bit. Because it's important. As I said, we're going to be talking about witchcraft. A lot of people, myself included, would have said, wow, don't affect me. I'm a born-again Christian. I don't worry about that stuff. I saw that on Discovery Channel. Them guys down there in Papua New Guinea. Yeah, I mean, they got witchcraft going on down there. But, Lord goodness, they don't have nothing to do with me. I live in America. You know, and besides that, it's hocus pocus anyway. They're running around, think they're doing something. They ain't got no power there. It's just a joke. It's a figment of their mind. How did that get it started? How did that get out? How did that get prevalent among Christians? We're going to get into that. So, you know, I know this for a fact, and I know it's a fact for everybody. Satan has a plan for you the moment you're born. From the time you're a little tyke. And that plan that he's got for you, he works on it 24/7, 365. He don't take no breaks. He don't take any vacations. He hates you with a passion. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy you. He will do everything to not let you succeed in this life. And he will do everything to drag you in to his kingdom. And the plan started from the time you were a tyke to now. The problem was with my mother and father. My dad was the elder deacon in First Baptist Church in Beaumont all my life. He was very well respected. He was a civil engineer, worked at Gulf Oil Corporation. He passed on when he was 81 years old. And, you know, but they didn't have a clue what was going on in the demonic kingdom. They didn't have a clue about how to protect yourself. They didn't have a clue about spiritual warfare or speaking in tongues or laying on hands or any of the other stuff, as far as that goes. But he was a wonderful man, and I'm proud to have him as my father. He was a good example. My dad never showed any prejudice. I didn't even know people was getting mad at black people and white people would argue like way down there himself, because my dad, he never showed any of that. Wasn't in my upbringing. But he didn't understand a lot of things, you know, and you got this. What is the enemy that you can't defeat? Or it's very hard to defeat. And it's the enemy that you don't know is the enemy. If you're not aware who the enemy is, how can you fight the enemy? You can't fight somebody you don't even know that's there. Even though they're shooting their fiery darts at you and you're having these problems, but you don't even know that they're doing that. Now, whose fault is that? I believe that Satan made a pact hundreds of years ago, way before we were all born, with denominational groups. Now what did Brother Howard tell us? Laodicean Christians going to a church that, what is a Laodicean Christian? Anybody here don't know? We've got a couple of young people here. Jesus said, when I come back, they are neither hot nor cold. They're not on fire for me. They're not, you know, they're lukewarm. They're Laodicean Christians. And I will spew them out. And I'm going to use the word, brother, didn't do it like vomit. My authorized says. By the way, on your Bible, and brother Ferris mentioned it, it's very, very important that you use a good Bible. Good. I always use authorized King James. I do have a parallel. I got the New King James on the right side. And the reason why I do that, sometimes there's some of the words there that we might not, you know, may need a little clarification. It kind of helps to have both there. Oh, I see somebody whizzing around. You got an NIV or what? Okay. Well, whatever. You just, I'll tell you what. Take your Bible and take a King James authorized and go down it. And you're going to find out. There's a lot of these versions. There's really bad stuff. I mean, like sections, like paragraphs, the blood and all kinds of things that give it the power that's been deleted. Why would I want that? Well, if I didn't know any better, you know, well, how about this was given to me? Whatever. Okay, praise the Lord. Enough on the Bible. So, tell you what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a second. Cool. I should get myself a second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought this group of people together. That you brought us together in a prayer of deliverance and to do spiritual warfare. Heavenly Father, we ask you to send war angels to do battle for us in the heavenlies. We ask you, through your Holy Spirit, to impress intercessors to pray at this time on each and every one of our behalf. We also thank you, Father God, for sending protecting angels around us, above us and below us. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us here tonight. For you did say in your word that when two or more are gathered together in my name, you are in the midst of them. Jesus is right here, right now. Thank you for the spiritual authority to use your name against the kingdom of darkness. See, God has given us this spiritual authority for us to be able to use the authority. Many don't know that. We also thank you that the Holy Spirit is now here to give us discernment and to let us know whatever gifts that are needful. Now, I forbid any transference or communication of evil spirits between any of us here present. Father, we ask you to have the angels remove any evil spirits in the atmosphere assigned to hinder or interfere with this deliverance. We also cut off all evil power sources directed towards us from the kingdom of darkness and from witches, wizards, sorcerers, and any other people used by the devil for these purposes. We bind the strong man over this area and in each of the people here present. And we ask that all strong men will be revealed to us tonight by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when we get into the deliverance later on towards the end, especially then, and even now. Y'all remember when you was a little kid and you could do your little fingers like this? Remember that? You could say King's X and you could get by with something. Maybe y'all are too young. See, when I was little, we still played hide and seek at nighttime. Now, I mean, I realize now a lot of kids, you're all TV orientated. So maybe y'all don't remember that. But as long as you had them fingers crossed, you know, you could even tell a lie, it was okay. Well, Satan knows all these things. So I'm going to ask you to keep your legs, don't cross your legs, don't cross your arms, don't cross your fingers, don't cross your eyes when we get into actual deliverance. Because Satan will use these tricks to keep out deliverance. Amen? So we'll get into that. Like I said, that's to be towards the end. Praise God. Now, as Howard so eloquently put it last night, is when he got up there for God, he didn't know anything about deliverance. He had never been taught anything about that in any church groups, and he had never taught it and he had went to the, what do you call that seminary? Cemetery school. He had went to that cemetery school, in case some of y'all wasn't there then, and that's about what it is, because it was teaching a flawed message, and it still does. To this day, it's still going on. And like I told you a while ago, I'm firmly convinced that Satan made a pact with certain denominations that as long you can play, you can talk about anything, as long as you leave me alone, then I'll leave y'all alone more. That's why I say we need to pray for them. How do we do that? What if you have a church there in your area? How do you do that? Anybody? You've got a church group there and you want them to get the fullness. How do we do that? Do we walk in to the First Baptist Church or the Church of Christ or whichever other fundamental church it is? I'm not picking on anybody. But I'm going to tell you, you can't put your foot around about this stuff. You can't go around ecumenically. I won't talk about what you do if you won't talk about what I do. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, don't compromise my word. Don't. What part of this we don't understand? about don't compromise my word. It's all over me when I think about it. We need to be bold. We need to think. But we need to do the groundwork before we do it. We don't want to go into flesh and go in there because you're not going to accomplish nothing anyway. So how do you do that? Ephesians 6:12. That's our mantra, it should be. That's our dialogue. That's one of Jesus' main covenants. Foundation. We bind and we loose. We're not fighting against what? Flesh and blood, are we? We're fighting against religious spirits. Yeah. Those are religious spirits there. So what do you do? What do you do when you go into 7-Eleven store and the Muslim guy's selling you your Coke? You would love to be able to mention Jesus to him, wouldn't you? Because you know he is not going to heaven if he don't repent and ask God to forgive him and get saved. You know that? How do we know that? Because there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. And if you deny me before man on earth, I will deny you before my Father on that last great judgment day. I had a pastor I followed back when I was young who said, we don't need to talk to the Jews. They have a different dispensation, so we don't need to talk to them. He's a well-known minister. He's still on TBN right now. So just leave him alone. We don't have to do that. Well, that's not what God said. We should talk to them, our Muslim friends and our other friends, fundamentalist friends. But when you do it, bind the strong man before you get in there. If you've got a Jehovah's Witness that comes to your house, you bind that strong man. The Lord has allowed me to get one man out of the Jehovah's Witness. That's a cult. And how did I do it? I bound that strong man up. I bind that you Jehovah's Witness demon. I bind you right now. Don't have to say it out loud. They can hear you. You don't have to say it out loud. The Lord tells you to go ahead and do it. Sometimes I'd work too. But I don't always do that. But anyway, got his attention. Praise God. Then loose the Holy Spirit to come through. This man was 73 years old. He was sitting in the receiving office at PPG Industry. When the Lord uses me, when I was at work, when I was working full time, I'm retired now, in the ministry, that's my full time now. And he would block everybody from coming in. You know, that was the busiest place, shipping and receiving. That's where everybody's coming in, coming out, right, signing tickets, you know, and all that. But his name was Arthur Neal. We got to be great friends. Arthur Neal had been in the Ku Klux Klan. He had been the Grand Wizard. He had done things that was unmentionable to black folks. He came clean. He cried. He lived to 76. The Lord took him on my birthday. My 50th birthday, June the 10th. Arthur passed away. I know he's in heaven right now. But in fact, if I wouldn't have used the spiritual warfare, he was bound up in that deception. This is powerful, folks. But I'm telling you, I see people that's been in deliverance for 5, 6, 10 years, 12 years. And, and then you come in and they'll start, Pastor, you know, this happened, I need you to pray. You know, and I say, well, what did you do? Did you bind that strong man back then, 3 days ago when it happened? Well, no, I forgot. And I was just so frustrated, it just skipped my mind. People, it's got to be ingrained. It's got to be ingrained in you. There's no such thing as I forgot. You should start every day, every morning, with a binding and loosening prayer. This includes your whole family. I've been doing this for 20-something years. Probably after the first 6 months that we went to Brother Dean's church. I won't leave the house. When I go to work, I bind and loose. I include all my family. I put a loose hedge of protection around them. I bind all demonic I loosen the angels. To be in front of us in the front, bind all demons of wreck and mishap and flat tire, breakdown, engine failure. This includes the whole family, a whole family group, our church family. I do that every day. And I do it usually every night too. Can't do it too much, but you can do it too not little. See what I'm saying? Can't overdo it, but you can sure underdo it. If that convicts anybody, praise God. Maybe you'll start doing that. You're going to see something happen. See, this is real. Now, I'm going to talk to us about witchcraft. And I've heard people talk about witchcraft. Some of the things I might tell y'all tonight might shock some of you. You know, I'm not going to be talking about something that I just saw in a book. I know a lot of people can talk about something they just saw in a book. I'm going to be talking about stuff that I know. I know. A lot of stuff I'm not proud of. But who is proud of what they done before they knew what they were supposed to do? I doubt a very few people. I don't know this many people that was raised up in a home. This may predate some of you young people too, but in Beaver, Leave It to Beaver home. Does any of, I mean, they did reruns on that, so most of y'all ought to know what I'm talking about. I mean, every time you watch Leave It to Beaver, it was a perfect home. The mom and daddy never argued, you know, and Wally and Beaver, now sometimes they would get in their little things, you know, and you know, Eddie would come over and he was always, you know, he was in the mischief. You know, he turned out to be a policeman. I hope he's doing good. Anyway, we never saw anybody, you know, I mean, it was just a perfect family. And then you look back at your family, oh my gosh, you know, man, what's wrong with us? You know, my mom and dad, they get in fight, or they arguing, running by, you know. And, I really hear some real bad stories, some horror stories. I was fortunate, as I said, my dad was a good man, but I do know that a lot of people, parents were not good. They were ungodly, did things that they shouldn't have done. Dixie's had problems with her dad. He was an alcoholic and abusive, but yet he had a good heart. And guess what? He made her and her sister and mother go to the Baptist church every Sunday. He didn't go, but by God, they was going to be there. Amen. So at least there was something. There was a shred of something in there, praise God. We hope, you know. And he didn't know about his demons. He didn't know he had demons of alcoholism. Dixie said so many times, he said, oh, but I only know back then what I know now. I could have bound that strong man up in my dad, you know. And things could have been so different. See, we can't cry with spilled milk. We didn't choose our parents to start with. See, all we choose is what we're going to do from the day that God finally opened our eyes from now on till Jesus comes back. That's all we can be accountable for now. So we don't go around crying over this happened, that happened, you know, see, that's Freudian stuff. What is Freudian stuff? Well, that's you, your mama abused you, your father abused you. This is why you're like you are. Blame everybody, but don't blame yourself. Well, let's grow up. Now, when you got saved, at least, now you're accountable. Grow up. Have people that come to our church sometimes 3 and 4 years, and you teach them, and they still, they're there for their problems. They haven't progressed one bit. It's went in one ear and out the other. I remember Brother Dean, when I first went there, he said, Ed, you're going to run against some people that has an unteachable spirit. And whatever you say is going to go through one ear and out the other. They're not going to progress. You know, and I have seen that. Amen. I'm sure y'all have too. So, it's a hardened heart. I don't know. You know, they went through deliverance and deliverance and deliverance and still. Amen. So, pray for them. Maybe they'll grow up or something. Dixie and I have been married going on 31 years. When we got married, we both had come from an unhappy marriage before. We brought together a blended family. She had 3 kids, and I had a son. And I would like to tell you that everything was just hunky-dory those first 4 or 5 years, but it really wasn't. But we loved the Lord. We loved each other. But we still were operating in the dark because we didn't know. Our eyes had not been opened. See, Satan, has anybody here read this Screwtape? Okay, Brother Bowes read it. Brother back there read it. You need to read that. That opened my eyes up. You'll see how these demons communicate in each other bodies to each other and how the hierarchy works and how this and this person will conjure against this one. How they can get a husband and wife's demon to pick that little thing that just ticks you off. And they actually are baiting you up. And if you don't know any better, they're just eating you up. That's why we have so many divorces. See, divorces run in my family. It goes back generations. We've had to break those curses. Kind of strange. Dixie and I both went to the Baptist church when we were kids. But we both, and we didn't know each other. She lived in Groves and I lived in Beaumont. And that's about 40 miles apart or something. And we didn't know each other until we were adults. Not too long before we got married. And about a year before we got married or whatever. But anyway, her first husband was a Catholic. And even though she'd been raised... And I'm going to tell you, the Baptist Church, especially the Southern Baptist Church, back 50 years ago, when Brother Howard, he was 12 years old when I was born. Kind of give you some idea. I was born on June 10th, 1940. And back then, remember I told you about that hell and burning fire, and he would come once a year? But here's another one that would come too. And that was that back then, the Catholic Church and the Baptist Church was oil and water. And they wanted to make sure we knew what was wrong with those Catholics. And let me tell you what. Those Catholics over there was the same way. They want to make sure that you know not to mess with them Baptists. Now the lines have kind of converged now. Why? Well, there's a reason for that. I don't even have part of the message tonight. I do know, you might know, Billy Graham met with the Pope here a few years ago. Now they don't talk about the Catholics like they used to. There's been an alignment there of some sort. It's like, you don't touch me, I won't touch you. We don't hurt each other, we won't hurt each other. That's not good. I'm telling you, God said, don't compromise my word. Anyway, my dad wanted me to be a civil engineer like him. I didn't do good in math. I never should have even thought about being a civil engineer. But that's, in my generation, what daddy wants, what mom wants, you do it. Just like we went to church, they said you go to church, you went. You didn't argue with them. You didn't have a choice to argue with them. It wasn't an option. Okay? So, my Uncle Ned, daddy's youngest brother, was a graduate from A&M. He brought me up to see General Earl Rudder, war hero, and they were good friends. General Rudder took my transcript and he looked at it from my high school. I graduated from high school and I'd went in the Army because back then they had a draft thing going on. And I'd been elected to go into the 6 months of active duty and then you had 8 years of reserve. So he's looking at it, going to my room, and he said, son, what did you do in high school? Boy, and he was a big guy. Earl Rudder was a huge man. Not really fat. Kind of reminded me of Schwarzkopf, if y'all remember him. Look, that's what Earl Rudder looked like Schwarzkopf. I was just in awe. I was probably saying that. Anyway, he said, man, you didn't even take geometry. You want to be an engineer. You got to have geometry. And besides that, look here, your English wasn't that good. You got 3 C. He said, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go back to night school, take these 3 subjects, bone up, and then come back next year. So that's what my daddy decided and my Uncle Ned that I would do. So your future is planned for you. You don't have any plan in your own future, back in the generation. Praise God, I love them. But, I love them. Oh, yeah. No, that's something. I didn't even have to forgive my daddy for that because my dad was doing what he thought was best. And his understanding and knowledge, he was doing what he thought was best. So, and I can accept that. I understand that. He should have known, well, you would have been better. And him and all of his brothers, there was 3 of us boys, my 2 other cousins, and it was understood we were going to get a college degree. I ended up going to night school when I worked at PPG industry for eight years going to night school. And finally did get a BS degree in criminal justice, something I enjoyed. But and my dad by that time, he was just glad to see that I got the degree. He thought that was great, okay? But here was the fly in the ointment. Remember what I said? Satan back there, when you're a baby, he's got this plan, and he's not going to compromise. He hates you. Don't ever forget that. He hates your grandchildren. He hates your children. Oh, I got a crazy report to tell you. Talking about that. Let me see if I can find it. Remember last October, the rodeo guy, what was his name for? Bronson. Bronson was up here, and I'm way back in the back there. And he just stopped. It's probably on tape. And he said, just got a word of knowledge. There's a man in here, and his grandson is wanting to go, is going, they're split up, they're going through a divorce. Is there anybody here? Boy, I raised my hand. I said, I don't know, I think somebody else raised their hand about something. But anyway, he said, come here. So I did, and I came up to the front. And sure enough, and they had a little baby, I was a great-grandson. I have one great, 13 grandchildren, one great. And when you put two families together, you get some grandkids here, don't you? Boy, what, Christmas time, man, you're talking about something. Anyway, we get through it. Praise God, we love them all. So he said a word to me, laid hands on me. I don't remember what all the words was. I just know that I was just, I felt so good. And as I was turning around to leave, he put that little reddish marble in my hand. Well, everybody was looking. I just stuck it in my pocket. I didn't want to say nothing. Well, I got back there and I was thinking, what did he give me a marble for? I hadn't played marble since the third grade. You know, we used to play keeps down there. But I haven't done it. Anyway, it was bugging me. So when it was all, the service was over, I went up to him and said, Brother, I said, I praise God. I love your prayer for me and for my grandson and his wife. But what was that marble for? And he said, Well, that's for whenever you reach in that pocket and you pull that marble out. I want you to think about that grandson and that wife and that baby. And then you say a prayer for them. Well, they're back together. Y'all pray for them too. That it's going to stay and that they're going to work it out. He told me, said, Grandpa, we're working out our differences. So, I don't know what the moral had to do. I don't know how he came up with that concept. But anyway, praise God for it. I love it. Where were we? I done got off the subject there. Anybody know where I was? Just graduated from college. And guess what? Praise God. My wife usually does that, but that's good. She's sitting so far back there. So Uncle Ned, he graduated from A&M. He fought in the Pacific. He was in the Navy. Him and Uncle Brian, Daddy's two younger brothers. And he had 1,000 acres of land in a little community about 30 miles due east of Waco, Texas, maybe 40 miles, way out there, and he had 1,000 head of sheep on it. I had went up there and worked some summers for him, and just general ranch hand. And, we did everything that was to be done. And I loved it, and I plowed. I just had a Ford tractor and all that. And so they were going to send me up to go to night school there. And but the only thing is, guess what? Around 1900, early part of 1900, a whole wave of immigrants from Czechoslovakia and Germany came in through Galveston and migrated up, and that whole community was 90-something, probably 98% Catholic. Now they said, now don't you fall in love with no Catholic girl, you know. Whatever. Satan had a plan, didn't he? So, I did. I got married to a Catholic girl. But before I did that, I come back to Beaumont. Brother Harbor, I love the man. He's 98 years old. He's still alive. I call him once a year at least. Talk to him. He has a doctorate of theology what do we call that word? She said a while ago, the seminary, cemeteryary, so whatever. Now, you know, a doctorate even in that school should know pretty much about theology. So he, Daddy sent him to, you know, talk me out of this. He talked you out of this, son. Come on. You know, and so he was trying to do that. And, you know, I'm 19 years old, almost 20 years old, and I thought I knew everything anyway. I said, to Brother Harper, and Daddy was there too. And I said, look, here's the way I got it figured out. Yeah. I'm not on any authority to him now. I'm a man now, you know. I can make my own decision. Except which college I'm going to go to. But anyway. And I told him, I said, let's just say there's 7 ladders that go to heaven, Brother Harper. And one of them is Catholic, one of them is Baptist, one is Church of Christ, one is Assembly of God, and so and so and so and so. I said, what difference does it make which ladder I climb up as long as I get in heaven? I did believe in heaven. That was instilled in me. You know, when you go to Sunday school and all that, that was instilled in me. I knew all that. And I got saved at the Baptist church when I was 9 years old, and got Brother Harbor had baptized me and all that, you know, when I was a kid, and all my other friends were doing it. So, you know, it was sort of a peer thing. And anyway, y'all probably been there and done that. So, you know, no real transformation took place. I question the validity of it. But at any rate, he really couldn't give me a good answer. Well, you know, there's things wrong with them, and you should go with us, and blah, you know, you should stay where, and this and that. But my reasoning was this, that she was had went through total Catholic school and was not going to change. And I didn't want our kids to be man's messed up, and I had made a vow that no matter what, I was going to make, you know, the marriage work, and I wanted us to be in agreement. And like I said, what difference does it make? As long as I got up one ladder, as long as I got in heaven. So, I can't see how the devil could have our eyes blinded like he did, but he did. But I think maybe all things have a purpose. Howard died on the way to the hospital and went to heaven. And when he got up there, they took him down through the second and the first heaven. And God told him that whatever was invisible to us right now, well, by the way, there's no demons in here right now, because we done sent them all out, man. But he would see them. He not only would see them, he would visually be able to recollect and draw. And if any of y'all haven't got some of his book, I've got them all. I've got his tape. I've got, you know, he's just a wonderful man. He's just a good mentor. But so he was shown visually what all of these demonic things looked like, and he wrote it back. And that's his ministry, to go, no matter who calls him, no matter how small or big congregation, Brother Howard's there. Been doing that for years. But mine was a different route. I went through a different route of seeing a lot of stuff. I know it's true. And I know what it's like. Now, how did it start? I said it from the start. When I was 5 years old. Let me look here. Remember what Brother Howard said last night? That old preacher done it, and he never actually looked at it. Well, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to look at it. All right, praise God, we're doing good. I never forget, we was at Mother's younger sister, me and all my cousins, and we were running, playing like little kids. I was 5, 6 at the most. Well, I wasn't even in school yet, so I had to be 5. And Aunt Louise said, Ruth, that's my mother, we got to go to Uncle Ruby's. Mother said, why? Look, she rolled her sleeves up, and just covered with water. Both. Must have been a jillion of them on there. Mother said, yeah, oh gosh, yeah. We got to go to Uncle Ruby's. So, well, they made the plans, got everything together. In a few days we were going to go. As soon as we got in the car, though, I said, why are we going to Uncle Ruby? What does he know about water? Oh, Uncle Ruby is sort of a healer. He takes off warts and stuff. Oh, I didn't know that. People took warts off. So we do. We get in the car and we take over Baton Rouge, Louisiana from my house. Back then, it was about a 7-hour drive. They live in a little town out of there called Gonzales. So we got there. Well, I was a very curious kid. And I wanted to know everything. And I was always, a lot of my cousins and all, they would be out running around playing. But if I thought there was that else was doing something that was interesting, I'd try to slip in there. I want to know what was going on. So they told us to go out and play because Uncle Ruby had some serious work to do with Aunt Louise. Well, me, I slip around and I'm looking. I want to see how you do this. How you take them warts off? I want to know. So he goes through a ritual and this, that, and the other with needles, and he takes an arse potato and stuff like that. And they said, now everybody got to shut their eyes because he's got to take this out on the north side or something. I don't remember now. Actually, I do, but I'll tell you why I do in a minute. So, I mean, that went on for about an hour or two, but we stayed another day or two. And he said, now you won't see any results. It'll be 3 or 4 days, then it'll just start falling off. Well, about that time, like I said, I don't know if it was a couple of hours, 4 hours, 5 hours later, but whatever it was, they brought this little black kid in. He looked like he was about 8 years old. And he was in such intense pain. And his little legs was drawn up to his body, and they were hauling him in like this. And so I was peeking around the corner and flabbergasted. And the mama said that he had tipped the skillet of hot grease. See, Uncle Ruby was also a healer of burns and other things too. Now, they all went to church. Uncle Ruby, he was a Pentecostal. See, they didn't see nothing wrong with mixing. And so he drained that water off. Big old blisters that big on him. And I remember he had this big white chicken feather, I guess it was. Might have been turkey. And he would take that thing and he would dip it in this oil. After he mumble jumble something he was doing, and then he would take that and he would coat it. And guess what? It healed. And he said it's going to hurt at first. Because I got to draw the fire out. And it would. They would be screaming and hollering. But it only lasted for about 5 minutes. And then the pain would be subside. And there was poor folks back then. They might leave him a chicken or something. You know, they didn't have no money. Bring him a dozen eggs. And they was a lot cheaper than going to the doctor. Besides that, he got results when they went. Remember this right here. Kind of got this from Dr. Nall. If you play, you pay. Remember that. If you play, you pay. So yeah, you do get healing. A witch doctor can heal. But there will always be a payback. There will always... They don't do it for nothing. As a matter of fact, you're going to give something. You opened a door. And once you did that, it's there. Well, I didn't know. Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse, Ben. Remember what I read there in Hosea? My people, ye shall die from lack of knowledge. Now that's, we're talking about die, that's the second death. Die. That means hell. From lack of knowledge. That's this knowledge. You remember when you got your driver's license? What did you do? Did you just go down there and take your driver's test? No, you didn't do that. You got a handbook, didn't you? You studied that thing, didn't you? You went and took your written part. And then you went and took your driven part. And some of them, they don't do that anymore, but anyway. But we don't do that. People don't do that. This is our handbook. That's where our society, the Christian society, has failed. The Jewish society, the Orthodox Jew, that boy, Jesus, he was instructed in the Bible from the time he was old enough to start. And when he was 13, he became a man, went through his bar mitzvah. He knew the word. He knew the penalties. He knew if he did this wrong and this that wrong. And our society has raised up generations of people that we've failed ourselves. We've failed our kids. We've failed our grandkids. And we need to rectify that. And a lot of good churches are trying to rectify it. But you've got to be sure you go to a church that teaches the whole word. Let your kid grow up in a church that teaches the whole word, not a lot of seeing message. I call them a tickle me Elmo service. You know what it is? You go in there, and you sit down, and the pastor gets up here, and he's got four jokes. He's got them all laid out, and he's got it all programmed, and he gives you a little word. Might read a scripture here and a scripture there, and then he gives you a tickle me Elmo. And everybody laughs, and he had such a good time. And then he might give you a little bit more, and you get, and you're not supposed to go to church to get a comedy hour. We're supposed to go to church to get meat. These people are going to church to get milk. I got milk for 40 years. 20 years as a Baptist and 20 years as a Catholic. Oh yeah, I was a good Catholic. I went to Mass every Sunday. I genuflected. I went in there, made the sign of the cross, went to confession at least once a month. All those things. Went to communion. Believed that the actual blood and wine was the real blood. Transubstantiation. Hypocrisy. And guess what? In those 20 years, I didn't know it was wrong. I think Satan puts a veil over your eyes. And you don't even know the deception that you're in. It's the same when I was going to the fundamental church. I didn't know so much because there was a veil there. The knowledge was not allowed to get to us. How many people, you know, they don't even know the scriptures that are warfare scriptures, our basic tenets. They don't know them. How can you preach Sunday after Sunday with these tickle me Elmo, Laodicean messages, and never read, you know, what do? They skip over them. Or they might read flesh and blood, principalities, powers of darkness, and then go on. They don't really explain it. And 99.9% and 100% of the people sitting out there don't even know what a principality is. So it just goes over their mind, and that's what Satan wants. How many times have y'all heard? I used to watch TVN back in the old days when we first got saved. I remember seeing the pastor up there saying, "We don't talk about the devil in our church. We don't want to give him no glory." And everybody just jumped up and was just clapping and raising their hands. And guess what? Satan was in there with them, clapping his hands too. "They don't talk about me in this church. Wow, I'm so glad you people go on and play." Read that screw tape. You're going to see what happened. That younger guy, whenever he was going to go to church, and the older one in the hierarchy gave him specific instruction not to let that guy go, and he didn't. They got in trouble. They get punished. Do y'all know that? Demons get, I believe they do. Remember one night we had a demon manifested. We don't usually talk to them too much, but sometimes you can extract some information. Even Brother Moody says this. And maybe you can use it in a... I just asked. He said, oh, please, don't cast me out again. Oh, I've already been cast out twice. And I can't go back again." And I said, "Well, wow, what's going to happen to you?" He said, "Satan put me on the rack. He stretched me. It hurt." You know, I don't know, but I do remember that night. It was interesting. I believe Satan does punish him. How he does it, I don't know. Jesus is going to tell us that one day, isn't he? He's going to tell us all that. We're going to know all things when we get in heaven. And we know now what we need to know. If it ain't here, then we don't need to know it. You know, if it's not here, I'm satisfied. Because like Brother Howard said, everything in here is true. Everything in here is factual.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you.